guys. First of all, I want to start by, I asked five people from the sort of Pulse group to just come up for a minute, if that's okay. Because, do you know, you don't see some of the things that go on behind the scenes and the setting up and stuff. And I know not all of the Pulse planning group are here. But I just thought, these guys set out the chairs, they put the chairs back, they put out the cushions, they get things sorted, they play in the band, they sing, they do the interviewee bits. And I just thought we should just say thank you. So I've got your little bar of chocolate just to say thank you. There we go. Just thought, I think they deserve it, don't you? Say well done, guys. There you go. Oh.
It's fine. Don't worry.
Sorry, I've not. Right. Actually, hold on a minute. Hold on. There you go. Well done. Thank you. So I would sit beside her later. Thank you. So thank them all for what they do. Brilliantly. Well done. Bless them. Yeah, we're looking at justice this evening. And I'll thank Chris later on. We've not got long in a Pulse service, really, to get into exactly what justice is. And with Sue's kind of blank expression on what is justice, that was me a week ago when Chris asked me to do this. It's hard to explain what justice is, and hopefully in the time that we've got, I'll be able to just have a little bit of an idea, or give you a little bit more of an idea of some of the aspects of justice. But a few weeks ago, I was out with my friend, Sarah, and the boys, and we went to a massive big play area. It's absolutely brilliant. There was all these big foam things that you could climb over, slides that you could slide down. It was really great. The only problem was that it was half term, and I was trying to slide down these slides and had all these children just getting in my way, which wasn't good. But I don't know if any of you have ever worked with children, or you've had children, or you've seen children just in a group. But not long after the children get together, when you're watching children, at some point you'll hear the phrase, "It's not fair. It's not fair. He's got a drink and I don't have a drink." Oh, it's not fair. She's got more chips than I've got. Or the whole group of them. It's not fair. We don't want to go home yet. We want to stay and play on these weird slides and things. But, you know, all of these things that I heard in that place, and all the things that we sort of say it's not fair for, really, on a day-to-day basis, are actually fair. The trouble was with these children, they were working on an idea of justice that centered around themselves. And in doing so, they couldn't really see what justice actually was. And sadly, as we grow up, do we get any better? I don't think we do, actually. I had to go to the dentist today, and my first thing was, that's not fair. Then they wanted to charge me. That's not fair. You know, we all want justice, but we start with what we perceive justice to be in our own minds. When I was thinking about this, I was trying to work out what justice was, and it is so difficult. What came to mind for me was justice kind of slash punishment. We want people who have done something wrong to get a suitable punishment for what they have done wrong. I also thought about fairness and equality, ensuring that everyone gets treated equally and given what they deserve. And all of these things, I think, go into a broader idea of what justice is, but none of them actually stand alone to sum up justice. We just need to think about the criminal justice system in places like Saudi Arabia. Criminal law punishments in Saudi Arabia include public beheading, stoning, amputation, and lashing. And that's just to name a few. But in this country, that is justice. That is the punishment that they would dish out. They see it as fair for the crime that has been committed in their land. But is this just? Or the one child law in China, they're now kind of coming away from that now. But it was certainly ensuring equality in the place, but the way that they get rid of the second or the third children, is this just, is this fair? And as I was researching justice, and words and phrases that could maybe try and explain justice, I came across time and time again the word shalom. And I'm sure all of us here have heard the word shalom at some point, you know, the Hebrew word meaning peace. But it also means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility, as well as being used as a greeting of hello and goodbye. But for me, I think to really look at what justice is and how to do justice, we have to look at the scriptures. Now, I don't know, these guys might be a little bit young, but I don't know if any of you ever had a WWJD bracelet. Yeah? What would Jesus do? I loved my WWJD bracelet. Wore it to school. If I got into a situation that I was thinking, ooh, this is a bit tense, what would Jesus do? But I found more and more that I would be standing there going, what would Jesus do? Well, he would have done what I've just done. And I was actually using the bracelet as a kind of way of making myself feel good about what I did, when actually Jesus probably wouldn't have done what I did. He'd probably been, Kimberly, what are you doing? That's not what kind of thing I would do. And I think we should have had bracelets that said, what did Jesus do? Because I think to really know what justice is and to have a more of an understanding in how to do justice, we really need to look at what Jesus did and how he acted in his life. And I just thought we could have looked at a number of stories and verses throughout scripture, because Jesus was just justice through and through. But I've chosen to look tonight at John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. If you've got your Bible, then you might want to look it up. John 8, 1 to 11. I'll read it to you now. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." The Jewish leaders in this passage had already disregarded the law by arresting the woman without the man. The law required both parties caught in adultery to be stoned. But the leaders were using this woman as a trap to try and trick Jesus. If Jesus said that the woman shouldn't be stoned, they would accuse him of violating Moses' law. And if he urged them to execute her, they would have been able to report him to the Romans, who didn't allow the Jews to carry out their own executions. But Jesus in this passage did something wonderful. He said, "He who's without sin, throw the first stone." He turned the whole situation away from the woman who was being accused and judged by these men, and he put it back onto them. By saying that only a sinless person could throw the first stone in this situation, he highlighted the importance for compassion and forgiveness. When other people sin, especially if they sin against us, it's really easy to pass judgment. I'm sure if somebody's done something wrong to you, you want them to get what they deserve. Yeah? Yeah. I remember when I was at school, I had a best friend that was killed by a drunk driver. And all of our friends, including me, wanted to see justice done. This was terrible. This guy should not have been driving. He'd been drinking. But at the man's trial, my friend's mum stood up and told the judge that the guilt that this man felt for killing her child was punishment enough, and that no official conviction could punish him any more than he was punishing himself. Despite her loss, she was full of compassion and she was full of forgiveness for this man. when we look back at the passage, when everyone had left, Jesus was with this woman and he asked her, "Who is left to condemn you?" And she looks around and she sees no one in this place. And Jesus then says to her that he didn't condemn her either. But then he said, "Now go and leave your life of sin." In some versions of the Bible, it says, "Now go in peace and leave your life of sin." And if we think about the shalom that we mentioned earlier, he's asking her to go to be whole, to be free, to be complete. He didn't condemn the woman of her sins, but he also didn't ignore the fact that she had sinned. He actually acknowledged the fact that she sinned by telling her to leave that life of sin. And, you know, I look at this passage of Scripture, and it's not necessarily what's said in the passage of Scripture. It's actually the fact that Jesus got involved at all in this situation. Jesus could have handled the situation in any way at all. He was outside the temple courts. He was teaching. And these guys came up with this woman and sort of said, you know, this needs to be sorted. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in the middle of doing something, I would have said, "I'm sorry, I'm a little bit busy at the moment. If you just deal with it yourself." Or Jesus could quite easily have turned around and said, "Well, hey, you guys, you found her. You deal with the situation. It's not my problem." But Jesus was a man of compassion. He was a man who stood up for justice. And in doing what he actually did, he didn't only just help the woman in that situation, but I think he also in some way went to educating the men who would have condemned her. I'm sure they would have gone home and thought about what was said and what was done. You know, throughout the Scriptures, God is the defender and the protector of the poor, of the outcast, the debtor, the widow, the orphan. And we can see this in the actions of Jesus time and time and time again. He sat with the outcasts. He ate dinner with the tax collectors. He spent time with people. And he saw their needs. He didn't just see their needs, though. He was active in helping them. And I think justice is more than just a word or a feeling. We can throw so many different words that explain what justice is at justice. But I think justice for Jesus was actually an action. It was about standing up for those who were unable to stand up themselves. It was about giving to those who had nothing and making life better for them. And I think as well we have to look at the fact that justice in the Scriptures wasn't just for those who were physically poor and struggling, but it was for everyone. It didn't matter where they were from, what they did, how rich they were, how poor they were. Jesus came for each and every one of us. And if we're going to look at justice, we just look at the fact that Jesus died on that cross for each and every one of us to take our sins away. So what do we do when we see someone sitting on a street corner hungry, or when we hear about people who've been displaced by war? And I'm sure each and every one of us feel sorry for them. And maybe even we shed a tear or two. But what should our response be to what we see in the world today? There's people that are living out on the street. There's a young couple who are now in Eastleigh who are homeless and have absolutely nothing. What is our response? How can we see justice in that situation? What would Jesus do? Or what I should be saying is, what did Jesus do? We're going to spend some time now just in prayer and reflection. And we're going to think about what we can do in this broken world. We're going to have a video that's going to be going on in the background of a song that we've actually just sung this evening. But it would be really good as well if you wanted to. We've got some little prayer stations around. But as you go around the prayer stations and you look at the different things on the pillars, think about not only just praying for the situations, but think about how you can make a difference. There's a prayer station there that's Christians Against Torture, and they've got a new Easter campaign that's going on, and there's people that are out in prisons for their faith, and they're asking people if you'd like to send an Easter card. Maybe you can do that, and you might think it's not making much of a difference, but to that one person, it's making a difference. We've got some information about poverty there, and we've got some information about the Syrian crisis. So let's just have some time now just responding to the Lord and listening to him speaking to you now.